This podcast is being sponsored by MyComicShop.com. Come visit us at ColdSlitterPodcast.com and then click on the link through our front page to MyComicShop.com. Shop there and keep the podcast going free. And you'll get new releases of comic books delivered right to your door. MyComicShop.com through ColdSlitterPodcast.com. Do it today. The following is a presentation of the Cold Slither Podcast Network.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Click Nations Comic Book Chronicles.
Yay!
I'm your host, Tim D-O-double-G.
Yay!
Tonight I'm joined by @agent_70 on Twitter.
Yeah! Nice to be back here at the beginning of the show.
On sound effects.
That's right.
And I'm also joined by @PCN_dirt on Twitter. Make sure to go to his website, popculturenetwork.com.
Please do. Thank you very much.
And while you're going to websites, also go to theclicknation.com where you can find previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles, comic book reviews, and other podcasts. And shout out to our co-host who is not here tonight but did provide us with the news for this week, @RoddyCat on Twitter. Check out his news feed Twitter account @NewsNerdSneed. Follow the Twitter account @TheClickNation. Like the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/TheClickNation. Add us to your circles on Google Plus. Search for TheClickNation. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheClickNation. And while you're also subscribing to things, subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Search for The Click Nation and give us 5-star ratings, give us reviews, give us a thumbs up and reshare us.
There you go.
Use the hashtag Comic Book Chronicles on your favorite social media websites. And remember, we record live every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. So if you're ever home on a Thursday night and you're not a fan of Scandal and How to Get Away with Murder and the Blacklist, which are all on at the same times now, put us on in the background. Let's see, we are also part of the Cold Slither Podcast Network and Comic Related Podcasts and Networks. You can check them out on their websites, coldslitherpodcast.com and comicrelated.com. All right. News for this week. Going with the cinematic news first.
The big news.
All the big news. Well, yeah, I was going to say all the big news was in comics, but it's actually in both comic news and the movie news. All right, so let's see.
You know the big news I'm talking about. Marvel wants Angelina Jolie to direct Captain Marvel, maybe.
Luke Mitchell gets Inhuman for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Okay. So another, there's a couple of casting news for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. besides this one, which we'll probably get to later on. Constantine not among NBC announced renewals, so situation is in peril.
Although, there is a rumor that Sci-Fi wants to pick up the show. So Sci-Fi may pick up the show and rebrand it as Hellblazer to run on Sci-Fi.
That's not the worst idea in the world.
It's a pretty good fit for the show, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see it.
Not a bad idea.
Let's see.
And just to Sci-Fi is part of the NBC Universal family of networks, so it isn't out of the realm of possibility that it would move from one network to the other. It makes sense, the same way that CW and CBS are affiliated, and that's why they can do crossovers between some of the shows. Every time they're doing Supergirl on CBS, you know, it, they are in the same family. Sci-fi and NBC are in the same family.
Right.
I still don't see a Supergirl and Arrow Flash crossover. That's just me, though.
Well, she's got to have a boyfriend.
Duh!
We also have Marina Baccarin.
Baccarin,
Taylor Schilling, and more up for roles in Deadpool. James Gunn's Guardians of the Galaxy 2 isn't based on a comic book story. As Roddy Cat puts in the notes, wait, the first one was?
Good one, Roddy.
Marvel wants Angelina Jolie to direct Captain Marvel.
I told you, that's the big, big news.
Apparently she directed some other movie that I can't think of right now, and so Marvel wants to give her lots of millions of dollars to direct Captain Marvel.
Unbroken.
Unbroken, there you go. As Guardian Warrior Sif returns to Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yay!
Batman Unlimited Animal Instincts trailer came out, and the movie is out May 12, 2015. So it's like Batman, Red Robin, Nightwing, Flash, and Green Arrow taking on Penguin and a bunch of like animal bat, like bat. What's the little bat, flying bat thing in that Batman fights? The guy that turns into a bat.
Man bat.
Man bat. I want to keep saying I want to say Batwing, but maybe that wasn't right. A bunch of animal turn humans turn into animals like Man Bat. Trailer didn't impress me too much, but that's just me. The Walking Dead, Emily Kinney joins The Flash.
Cool. Nice to see Beth not being down for long.
Is she the person that was killed on the season premiere of Walking Dead?
No.
Okay. I saw someone died.
The mid-season, the mid-season premiere, someone did die. We will not spoil this.
Patrick Stewart teases next X role, says McKellen is in X-Men Apocalypse.
All right.
Why? I have no idea.
Hmm.
They're supposed to be moving on, yet they keep bringing all the old people back. So, big news. Sony Pictures Entertainment brings Marvel Studios into the amazing world of Spider-Man. Stuttered applause there. Much better. All right, I'm going to click this link just because Roddy says note the cap that is pictured also. Oh, yeah, it's Bucky Cap. Never mind, I saw that. So after I went to sleep Monday night, it was nice waking up Tuesday morning to a couple of my nice Twitter followers sending me links and asking my opinion on the big Spider-Man MCU news.
I think if you didn't stay up late that night, that happened to a lot of us. I got Facebook posts and emails. It was pretty nice to wake up to that.
So basically I said, huh?
I read it on the way in on the subway. I was just in shock. I couldn't believe what was happening. And I kept waiting to get all the details, and the details came fairly slowly during the day. But I was, you know, there's enough there to give you pause or to give me pause, especially with some of the terms of the terms that were stated in the news in the press release, such as Sony having final creative say. And that made me just stop for a second and think about what bad things could happen. But otherwise, you know, most of the news was just very, you know, I was very positive about hearing all this. One thing that I did think about pretty quickly, and I saw some other people had the same, were thinking the same thing, thinking, well, will they use this opportunity to introduce a different Spider-Man, not necessarily a Peter Parker Spider-Man?
Yeah.
You know? And this is it's a big opportunity. I think the press release says Peter Parker. So I'm pretty confident that it's going to be a version of Peter Parker, likely a very young version of Peter Parker. But, you know, part of me thinks it's a great time to introduce Miles Morales, Ultimate Spider-Man, as, you know, that's who we're all alluding to. But at the same time, I'd like to see Marvel Studios take a shot at Peter. Give them a chance to do Peter right and not, you know, retell the origin story in an entire movie, but to really tell a good Spider-Man story.
Yeah. I saw someone speculating that, you know, the whole Sony still having creative control is sort of a way for them to save face.
Mm-hmm.
it's actually in the terms of the agreement. But it's definitely big for Marvel to be able to use Spider-Man again. And as much as I would like to see Miles make his cinematic debut, I'm pretty sure they're going to at least start with Peter. And like probably 10 years down the line, they can introduce Miles and maybe eventually position up. As I keep saying, Doctor Strange will introduce different parallel dimensions, so then they can do all the different universes and whatnot.
You're probably right.
Or they can spin him off into a TV series.
That'd be cool.
Because all it takes is for Doctor Strange to hop into a couple parallel universes, and then suddenly, you know, Miles Morales can have a TV show on ABC, and they can still do Peter Parker in the movies.
Another possibility. So yeah, it's good news all around. So one down, two more to go.
Two more properties to go, you mean?
Yeah, two more properties. So with the whatever agreement for Spider-Man that Sony and Marvel Studios came up with, they announced that a new release date for Spider-Man 3, Amazing Spider-Man 3. I don't even know if it's still going to be called that now.
I don't think so. Yeah. But it's going to be a Spidey solo movie.
Yeah, it'll be Spider-Man, insert popular Spider-Man arc from the comics.
No, it'll be Spectacular Spider-Man.
Possibly.
I always said that, like, whatever happens after Secret Wars and then whatever book, solo book Miles gets, because you know he'll probably get one, they should just call it, like, Spectacular Spider-Man. Just have more than one Spider-Man running around. DC can have multiple Flashes and Green Lanterns.
That's true.
So, let's see. So, this doesn't have Spider-Man's... the one I'm clicking on here. Let's see, that's another one. Spider-Man takes the Thor Ragnarok spot, whatever that originally was, and then Thor Ragnarok moves to November 3rd, 2017. Then Marvel's Black Panther is July 6th, 2018. Captain Marvel, November 2nd, 2018. And Inhumans, July 12th, 2019. And Avengers Infinity Wars Part 1 and 2 stay unchanged. Unchanged. So everything else gets pushed back. And supposedly the rumor is Spider-Man's going to appear in Captain America Civil War because you can't do the Civil War storyline without Spider-Man in it. Yes, you can, because the cinematic universe is totally different. Just because they're using the storyline. Age of Ultron doesn't involve time travel, does it?
Thank God. That's all I have to say. Age of Ultron is going to be a lot more like the classic Ultron stories. It might even be... it's a shame it won't be the Ultron story that Perez and Busiek did, where he takes over Slovenia and like basically kills the entire country, you know? So that, you know, that was actually a really good Ultron storyline.
I was going to say... lost my train of thought now. Age of Ultron just happens to have a cool-ass name to it, so... that's the only reason why that name was chosen.
Exactly.
I think Spider-Man will just maybe appear in the after-credit scene, if anything. I don't think he'll actually have anything to do with the story of the Civil War. That there's so much to talk to handle in that story anyway. They just keep adding more people.
I think that the cameo that you're talking about is going to happen. It may happen after Age of Ultron.
Which cameo? Spider-Man?
Yep. Yeah, I think they might throw it in there before. Yeah, they might film something very, very small, very, very quick, and throw it in there, and it'll just get everyone and get all the fanboys into a lather.
Well, they gotta get working. Time's a ticking. The Activity adaptation lands Black Hawk Down screenwriter.
Yay!
Congrats to Nathan Hickson and Mitch Gerard. Back to Spider-Man and Marvel and Sony. It cost Marvel $0 to get Spider-Man back. So, gotta love those kind of transactions. Dwayne The Rock Johnson talks Shazam, confirms connection to other DC films. As if anyone was curious about that, because the movie doesn't come out for another 4 or 5 years. Robert Kirkman's Outcast gets a series order at Cinemax. So, it was only a matter of which network was going to be taking Outcast and putting it on air, so you got your answer, which I need to catch up on that, by the way. I still have Cinemax.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you do. And you only watch it from 11 p.m. to 3 a.m.
I haven't done that in
Cinemax.
So long. Cinemax movies are hilarious. Drea De Matteo joins Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to round out the last S.H.I.E.L.D. news.
Yay!
Yay. So now on to comic book news. So, of course, after we recorded last Thursday night, on Friday afternoon, well, actually Friday morning, because it was another case of waking up and seeing stuff the minute I wake up and turn my phone on. So, DC Comics is ending the New 52, at least as far as the brand name goes. They're not rebooting people. Just because the New 52 name is going away doesn't mean they're doing a reboot. But
they kind of are.
Are they?
For some stuff. Yeah, well, with Convergence, they're going to use it kind of like a crisis again.
Oh.
So it come out of it, some things will be changed a little bit and some things won't.
So this again, once again, the Batman and Green Lantern franchises will remain untouched.
Probably.
Pretty much.
Although, and then we'll have even more the, Batman sidekicks.
They canceled all the tie-in Green Lantern books, so maybe it is time for that.
I'm trying to think of this earlier today. What's his code name supposed to be?
Who?
The black kid, Duke, in Batman. The guy he saved in Zero Year.
Oh, yeah,
I saw Bluebird today, which made me think of Bluebird, the character now, and I was like, yeah, what's that other kid's name? I can't think of it. Anyway, so yes, the New 52 name brand is ending. There's going to be new books, new creative teams, new starting points. I have planned at least probably sometime this weekend to do it. I did an article, thanks to Dirt for passing me on the press release for that. I'm going to do a follow-up post where I jot down probably like the top five books I'm looking forward to the most, combining the new series and the returning series. Or maybe I need to just stick to the new series. We'll see.
Well, one of the big things that they talked about in the press release was the fact that when they did the New 52, the idea was to bring everything closer together and have everything feel like it was more of one giant cohesive universe. And that's run a few years now. So now what they're going to do is after Convergence, when everything pushes back out, is they're going to allow things to kind of drift off into their own pockets of the DC universe now. So you can have Batman and Justice League, and you can have Batman and Detective Comics, and they may not necessarily be the same Batman that's in the Batman title book, and allow, you know, writers and artists to kind of play with the characters on their own a little more and have a little more freedom to kind of toy around with them and not have it feel like they're
slaves
all
to continuity, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was a big thing, was not relying so much on continuity and all the articles I was reading about it.
Yeah.
It will be interesting because supposedly Scott Snyder has been teasing, you know, a new status quo in Batman. So I wonder would that just appear in Batman and not like in Detective Comics and Batman and Justice League and whatnot. I feel like there's gonna be like some, you know, for the people that do like continuity, there'll be like, you know, the Justice League and Superman books and Aquaman books and yada yada yada. And then for the people that don't care about continuity, there would be the books on the fringes that they can read and not care so much about them.
Yeah, well, for a long time, books like Legends of the Dark Knight was one in the DC universe for a long time where they would do 2-issue arcs, 3-issue arcs, 4-issue arcs, and those stories were self-contained. And maybe they happened at some time randomly in the past, maybe they were set sometime randomly in the future, but they weren't necessarily tied into everything. And they're just kind of going back to that idea of just letting people play with the characters. And especially now that they've done a lot of the stuff where, you know, Superman Returns didn't tie into Man of Steel. You had the Dark Knight trilogy of movies that don't necessarily tie into the Batman versus Superman. You know, so as the cinematics played out in each in their own separate way, they're kind of letting the comics go back to that where they can all be separate and individual.
Were there any announcements that caught your attention or made, you know, piqued everyone's interest that you can think of off the top of your head?
I still have to go through the list and read everything.
Same.
I mean, it's been like a week, but still haven't had a chance to go through. I still haven't had a chance to go through and dig through every single one. Diamond Comics, the distributor, just put out a thing yesterday, the day before, where they have their own rundown of all the books coming out, who the creative teams are, the preview artwork that's available on them, So you can go through and click on each of those and see, you know, if they've released a cover, the cover's available, if they've released, you know, some character designs, whatever. So I need to go through and look at all that stuff and see what's up on some of those.
Was that an email form or was it in hard copy form?
It's on previewsworld.com.
Because I get their emails, I just don't always look at them.
Yeah, I don't remember if that was in the retailer email or if that was in just their regular, you know, news email, but I'm pretty sure if you just go to previewsworld.com, you'll see the article.
Okay. That's another thing I have on my agenda maybe this weekend is to plow through some of the emails that I've let pile up.
Yeah, I've got like 300 and some emails sitting in my mailbox from the last month. I've weeded out all the garbage ones, and there's still 300 of them or so that I need to go through and actually download the PDFs and look at the preview artwork and all that stuff.
Yeah. Oh, so much to do. Mm-hmm. Need assistance.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right.
We need to post a listing for an intern.
No one wants to do this stuff.
Unpaid intern.
Yeah, that's right. Unpaid internships. Can we offer college credit or something?
yeah, school hard knocks.
That's right.
Also have up. So, I'm trying to remember when this happened. Did we talk about A-Force last week? I can't remember when that happened.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, wasn't that the announcement that was supposed to be on The View that got bumped from The
View?
Yeah.
I see it's on here again. I don't know if we... I think we talked about it. Okay, we can skip that. Mm-hmm. Arrow's Diggle, David Ramsey taught Suicide Squad and Green Lantern. Marvel editor Sanaa Aminat promoted to director of content and character development at Marvel.
Good for her. Congratulations. Where's the applause?
Oh. Dark Horse teases Lemire, Ormston, and Stewart's Black Hammer. Lemire's just writing everything now. Once that DC exclusive deal expired, Comixology has joined the Black Comics Month campaign as a sponsor. They're giving away free copies of Watson and Holmes number 6 from Brandon Easton and Stephen Harris for an entire week. I need to download that. IDW and Hasbro celebrate 10 years by extending their relationship. And IDW also opened up a new facility where they'll be doing business out of. So congrats to them.
Yay!
And IDW announced, this may be on the news, I haven't looked yet. I remember saying they announced they extended the contract with something, with one of the franchises they already have. Like, they extended the contract.
Oh, licensing agreement?
Yeah, the licensing agreement. Y'all know what I mean. I can't remember. I'm trying to think, like, they do... I think it was Hasbro. I think the Hasbro license agreement.
All right.
Let's see. Dinosaurs Battle Biplanes in Garth Ennis Marvel Comics series, which is going to be a Secret Wars-related book. You know, I haven't actually read anything from Garth Ennis.
Not even the Punisher Horror stuff?
Mm-mm.
No kidding.
You didn't read Preacher back in the day?
No. Never read Preacher.
I'm being told by Roddy Cat that we didn't talk about A-Force last week because it was announced on Friday.
Ah, there you go. That's back.
That was a Thursday. Okay. That's right. They both announced something. The DC and Marvel stuff came out at the same time. Okay, so let's backtrack. So Marvel...
I'm in A-Force. You can send all hate mail to @agent_70 on Twitter.
This is why we have Roddy Cat watching from the rafters.
There you go. He's our Hawkeye.
He's our Sting.
So Marvel has set up this big announcement to air on The View last Friday morning. It airs from 11 to 12 Eastern time, at least. And the hour went by, and there was no announcement, at least from what I heard from people griping online. But if you were online, like I was, just waiting for someone to tweet out the news, Mashable got the exclusive that it's a new series that's going to, I guess, involve Secret Wars called A-Force, an all-females Avengers team, co-written by Margaret Bennett and G. Willow Wilson.
I love it. It's A-Force.
Who I predicted would be involved in the project.
Yep, you did.
I mean, it kind of makes sense, but just because she had some big secret project. And supposedly when the Avengers team is, I guess, missing or gone when Secret War starts, this team assembles and supposedly Alonzo teased on CBR that there'll be the team after Secret Wars. So more than likely, there'll probably be that all new, all different Avengers team that will be in the free comic book day issue, I'd assume. Who knows? But the artist is Jorge Molina, or Jorge?
I think it's Jorge.
Yeah, Jorge Molina, who was a guest penciler on this week's Thor number 5.
Correct.
So, and there was a couple other like Secret Wars related things that came out. I'll see if Roddy Cat put them on the list here. So yeah, the Garth Ennis dinosaur planes and whatnot is a. It's going to be a series or miniseries in Secret Wars. MODOK Assassin is a Secret Wars series. I'm trying to remember who's writing that without clicking on this. But I'll click on it anyway because I'm super fast now. Let's see. Chris Yost.
There you go.
I like Chris Yost, but I'm going to be reading the MODOK series. DC Comics' Dan DiDio compares post-convergence plans to Infinite Crisis, shares original 1 year later notes. Actually, done through some of that reading about it. So basically saying they learned their lessons after Infinite Crisis and, I guess, the 52 series where everything was supposed to jump ahead a year. So hopefully they won't screw it up once post-convergence. Scribd, or however you say it, launches its Netflix for comics with 10,000 titles.
That was interesting to see, you know, given the push that the various digital platforms have had in terms of comics, to have something come out with a Netflix-style subscription service and just provide all these, you know, various titles. I haven't downloaded anything. I haven't installed this particular app. I'm not a member. I just thought, you know, just on first blush reading the headline, thinking, wow, this is this is a great way to get comics into other people, into more people's hands. But at the same time, you know, I guess we're going to eventually find the platform of choice.
And publishers that are involved in it are Marvel, IDW Publishing, Archie Comics, Top Shelf, Top Cow, Valiant, and Dynamite. Not bad. So, let's see, does it have a price for how much Scribd is? Is it $9.99? Yep. Or $8.99, flat monthly fee. Okay. Secret Wars gets hot with Inferno Redux. So, the X-Men Inferno event will make its way into Secret Wars format from Dennis Hopeless and Javier Garin, who is the Cyclops artist.
Okay.
So I like both those guys. So, and I never actually read the original Inferno series.
No kidding.
That was before my X-Men time.
Maybe you can find it on Scribd.
Ah!
Actually, I was about to add it to my things to read on Marvel Unlimited list.
There you go.
Maybe one day on the show I'll actually like read out everything that's on there. Everything I'll never get to.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Here's one thing that I was thinking about the other day, and Agent 70, I think, can commiserate with this. When, one of the books, when I was in high school, that was like the big thing everybody had to read was Classic X-Men. That reprinted all of those great Chris Claremont X-Men stories, starting with, right, I think, the John Byrne stuff, and then just followed along. And the series got all new covers. So you got all these classic stories with brand new artwork on the covers, and they had
generally Art Adams.
Yeah, I was gonna say there was Art Adams and Mike Mignola did a whole bunch of them, and because they were reprints of X-Men books, if you go online like Marvel Unlimited or Comixology or whatever, you can buy those original X-Men books, but you can't get the artwork from Classic X-Men. You can't get those covers. All these pieces of art from Art Adams and Mike Mignola are just gone. And
They used to have pinups in them, too.
Yeah, I've scrubbed all over the internet, and I cannot find these covers anywhere.
Really?
Yeah. And about the closest thing I can find is people selling, like, a complete run of Classic X-Men as, you know, paper copies.
Sure.
For $150, $200, you know, if you want to buy this giant stack of books. But I remember a lot of that artwork was just the artwork, especially when I was like in high school. Mm-hmm. You throw one or two of those things in your folder and you just sit and stare at them while you're sitting in class supposed to be taking notes. And you just can't find it anywhere because it's not archived in anything. It's not reprinted in anything.
That's interesting. You know? I did not realize that at least the cover artwork wasn't collected somewhere.
Yeah, so if anyone listening has all those back issues, feel free to scan in those covers and let me know, because a lot of those I'd love to see again. But one thing I will say is that on Comixology, DC has a very good track record of going in, and every time they do a second print, third print, fourth print, whatever, they add it to the book on Comixology. So if you go in and say, if you bought a copy of Justice League number 1 when the New 52 launched, you can open up that book now, and it will have like the 12 covers from all the various reprints in the package of the book. So you can see, you know, what the 7th print cover looked like, what the 8th print cover, because sometimes they just did color variations, sometimes they did all new artwork,
right?
Sometimes they mirrored it, you know, swapped it, whatever. So every variation of all of those different printings are archived in the Comixology versions of those New 52 DC books. And that's kind of what got my mind thinking about all of that. It's just the fact that DC has carried through on that. I wish somewhere someone in Marvel would go through and update all of their stuff with all the different reprints and variants and everything like that.
Absolutely.
Star Wars number 1 accounted for about 1 in 7 comics sold in January. Marvel will publish Rocket and Groot novel paperback form after all.
Alrighty.
There's a Superman statue being planned in Cleveland near the Rock Hall. Another Secret Wars series, Spider-Verse, continues from Mike Costa. Valiant announces 25th anniversary celebration and releases a lineup of things.
Wow, Valiant's been around for 25 years.
I know.
Valiant and Acclaim, I know.
I was going to say, they actually weren't publishing the entire 25 years, right. Were they?
No, I don't believe so.
That's like you can go out today and buy an Atari video game, but it's not Atari anymore. It's actually Infogrames that bought the title and changed their company name over.
Secret Wars again. Sam Humphries invades Planet Hulk with Steve Rogers and Devil Dinosaur. That actually looks kind of interesting. And Mark Lamming. Let me sure I get his name right. If I butcher it anymore. As I intend to do on this show. Mark Lamming. Or Lamming. Valiant celebrating the 25th anniversary with Free Comic Book Day. Oh, that's toy stuff. What is this? Okay, yeah, we've talked about all that. And now in variant cover news, if there's anything of importance, probably not. All right, so it's time for me to read our nice friendly ad of the week. Which one am I going to do? I'm going to do Amazon. Keep our podcast free by shopping at Amazon. Visit coldslitterpodcast.com, then click the Keep Our Podcast Free link at the top of the page. From there, scroll down and click on the Amazon link to shop. Purchase items from Amazon.com as you normally would, whether it's books, music, electronics, jewelry, apparel, etc. For every purchase made on Amazon through our link, Amazon sends the CSPN, that's Coast of the Podcast Network, a payment that helps us keep the Comic Book Chronicles podcast free for our listeners at no extra cost to you. Amazon.com through CoastLittlePodcast.com. Do it today.
You'll be joining us soon.
Alrighty. So, who would like to start us off?
Let's see what we read.
Did anybody read Darth Vader? Let's just start there.
No. You guys can go. Feel free to talk about it. I didn't read it, but you guys can go ahead.
Yeah, we can talk about it.
I thought it was great.
Nice. Like Tony the Tiger great, huh?
Yeah, it was great. one thing that surprised me is that in this book, it actually mentions the stuff that happens in the regular Star Wars title. Like he's reporting back to the Emperor about what happened, and he's talking about the incident that takes place in the Star Wars 1, 2, and I think it's ongoing, right? It's
right.
Yes, that Star Wars is ongoing.
So this is a little bit of continuity.
Yeah, it takes place after the events of that first series, but yeah, it mentions that. So from the get go, Marvel is really pushing that these books are tied together, and that you do need to, you know, keep up on all of them, or at least these two so far, in order to get the whole story. So I'm at least glad to see that they are keeping that continuity together.
And what did I say for the issue? I said the Star Wars positive momentum continues. Great job by Kieran Gillen on portraying Darth Vader as menacing and dangerous. And we got a couple of guest stars from the Star Wars universe, or at least movie universe. So recognizable faces, for sure. And I don't know, I'm kind of surprised. It's like, you know, they're two for two. Will Princess Leia, or Leia, whatever they call the series, miniseries, be of the same quality? Hopefully so.
Yeah, that's a much tougher sell to get people on that book. Because we've had a lot of people, you know, of course Star Wars was huge, and then Darth Vader came out, so we're asking people, okay, so you want to go ahead and put you down for Princess Leia? And they're all like, I don't know about that one.
There's a reason why they put that one out third.
Yeah.
You know? Because I think, as you guys are already stating, I think these were the two easiest to sell. The main title and the companion title for Darth Vader. Any of the other characters would be a little bit more difficult to follow along on a monthly basis to be able to like continue to tell a continuing story and keep people hooked. You know, these are the two I think that would be the prime focus for the Star Wars universe within Marvel Comics.
You know, everyone's just waiting for that Boba Fett series.
We'll see. I'm not sure about that. We will see.
We can talk about the one book I did review on theclicknation.com and popculturenetwork.com. Amazing Spider-Man number 14, the end of the Spider-Verse event, minus the epilogue is used to come out afterwards.
That's right, the epilogue. I felt like I needed to read the epilogue right away as soon as I finished reading this book.
I guess the Spider-Woman issue that came out was an epilogue, right?
Can we not talk about it?
We can get to it later.
Well, here, let me ask you this. With this wrapping up Spider-Verse, does it feel like it's wrapping up your interest in the title?
Ooh.
That's a good question.
I don't know. I've been kind of down on Amazing since it relaunched. Dirt and I were the Superior Spider-Man fans on the show.
Exactly. And I'm a Parker loyalist, so... You know, I'm interested to see where it goes, but ultimately, you know, I felt very let down by the ending of this crossover. I thought there were a lot of great story beats in the crossover, but I felt like the ending was just very much a letdown. Otto does stick his nose in and create what I think will be followed up on in the epilogue. You know, his actions in this store, in this particular issue, I think will resonate and cause ripples going forward. It was interesting to see. It will be interesting to see how that the ramifications of that in future issues. But otherwise, I thought that this was pretty lackluster in terms of the finale to an event that's been granted. It hasn't been going on for that long, but if you count Edge of Spider-Verse, it has. And to see it end like this within the last few issues, it's just been a pretty big letdown for me. I don't know how you feel about it, but that's what it is for me.
I had just a couple things. Like, for one, the villain's inheritors and Moreland never impressed me, just because I've never read any Moreland issues. I had stopped reading comics back when he came out, he was created and the other...
With the whole other storyline?
Yeah. So this is my first introduction to Moreland, and I was not impressed. It was such a large cast, so I think everyone got enough, you know, airtime or page space, especially with all the various side comics like Spider-Man 2099 and Spider-Woman, etc.
You mean like all the side missions as opposed to the main mission? I gotcha. Because that's really what they
were. It's not like I really enjoyed them either. It's just they had enough chances to shine in all those other stuff. It would have been nice if Miles did more, but you know, everyone's going to have like their one favorite that they should have done more. But yeah, I'm glad it's over. I'm not sure. I can see a lot of wasted time between now and wherever Secret Wars kicks off.
That's true.
Now they got to like just either wrap stuff up quickly or just come up with like little short one and done stories, or was it We're in so March, April, May. If they do one issue a month and don't double ship, even though they probably will double ship, then it's like 3 or 6 more issues to go. Mm-hmm. And I haven't really heard any rumors of what was supposed to come after Spider-Verse. I just would have preferred if Oliver Corpel had drawn all the Amazing Spider-Man issues. I would have enjoyed it more.
He can't work that fast. That's the thing. He just does not work that fast.
Yeah. I mean, they announced it like beginning of last year, it seems like.
Right.
But that's how that goes. But, yeah, I gave it a 3 out of 5.
Okay.
It wasn't horrible. It wasn't super great.
I feel like I may have a different opinion. Oh, I probably won't have much of a different opinion, but I think my opinion of the story might improve after I read the epilogue. But I feel like I need to read that to get some closure on the story.
All right. Let's go through what some of y'all read. Let's hear about Deep State number 4, Dirt.
Oh, you want to jump out of Marvel?
Yeah, jump around.
All right.
Jump up, jump up, and get down. Ah!
No, I want to hear you rap the whole song now. All right. Well, I believe this was originally slated to be a 4-issue miniseries, but they have solicited an issue 5, although I don't think it comes out until like the end of April or the beginning of May, sometime in there. So there's definitely going to be an interlude here. So this is the first arc wrapping up, and basically what has happened is this life form has been lying dormant on the moon, and a Russian cosmonaut going out into space and, you know, doing whatever has got infected by this alien virus. He crashes somewhere in the middle plains of the United States and starts to infect this small town. And everybody who's infected becomes almost like a, if you want to say like a pod person, Invasion of the Body Snatchers type thing, where they're kind of half that, half zombie almost. They're not thinking for themselves. They're somewhat animalistic, but as soon as this alien virus thing, whatever, as soon as he kicks in, he can take over. He talks through them. They all speak in unison in one voice and whatever. And these U.S. agents have been sent in from this secret government agency to cover it up. Their job is to contain it, to cover it up, destroy it, and, you know, make sure that word of this never gets out to the public to cause any sort of alarm. And so wrapping up this 4-issue miniseries is they basically find Patient Zero. They find the cosmonaut who's in the middle of this town, and they find a way to interact with him, communicate with him, get through to this alien being, and try to figure out why it's there, what it is, how powerful it is, what it really wants, and if they can figure out a way to stop it. And so the first 2 issues kind of, it felt like the solving the mystery part, trying to figure out what's going on, what's behind it, what this thing is. Issue 3 was your action, a lot of running around, a lot of shooting, stuff gets set on fire, you know, the whole town is being overrun by these zombie pod people, whatever. And then issue 4 is your final confrontation with this creature, and then everything, you know, wraps up. And it just, it was a really well done arc. It just, it hit all the beats and the right paces that you needed them to be there. You got your action, you got your exposition, you got your big confrontation, and the characters are all, they all feel unique in their own particular way. You've got your older male agent who's bringing in this younger female agent to take over because I guess his last partner died, you know, whatever. And so I really liked the characters. I liked the way the story played out. I thought the artwork was great. And I just really enjoyed the wrap-up of the story. And it the final, you know, panel leaves a cliffhanger to be continued. And I didn't know originally if they were going to do a different miniseries, but then I looked and saw that, yes, an issue 5 has been solicited for a few months down the road. So I don't know if it was originally meant to be a second miniseries, and they've just decided now, you know, to make it an ongoing instead. But as an ongoing, I'm perfectly happy. I'm really looking forward to continuing the story with these characters because I really liked the way he took that X-Files premise and kind of flipped it the other direction And instead of being the ones that are trying to uncover the truth, they're the ones trying to cover up, contain it, and make sure it never gets out. So it was a good read. It was a lot of fun. And now that this fourth issue's out, if anyone's interested in it, now's your time to sit down, read all four of them together, and get your whole story in one shot.
Right before the next issue drops, they need a little bit of lead time.
Right.
All right, cool. So for this, you know, for this title, the truth is actually not out there. Okay. Interesting. All right. Tim, what did you think of All New X-Men number 36?
Thought it was fine. What did I put down for here? I liked all the different, you know, reality hopping that they did at the end, even though they didn't really show us too much.
Right, it was like a teaser for Secret Wars, right?
Right. I liked the tease of Miles Jean Grey relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that'll be picked up on like months down the line.
Right, when everything comes together.
Yeah. Not too much else. Of course, don't trust Hank McCoy.
Right. I'm glad that you mentioned this because it's so interesting to see the development of the character. Although I guess we've seen some of this before. You know, he's the resident semi-mad scientist of the original X-Men. So, you know, it's interesting to see, you know, the character develop in this way, at least in this modern iteration of him. So, you know, I guess it's always been there, and obviously, you know, it takes a little bit of nuttiness to experiment on yourself and end up giving yourself blue fur. So, you know, like I said, you know, this has always been there in the character. It's just kind of funny to see it develop, you know, in both the older, wizened veteran Beast and the younger, you know, rookie Beast that's been thrown into the present day. Like you said, it's kind of tough to understand how anyone will be able to trust Beast after this.
Especially after what we see from him in Guardians, his older self in Guardians of the Galaxy 24.
I was about to say, if you want to roll right into that, we can talk about that.
Well, we can let Dirk get his quick impressions on All New X-Men.
Yeah,
did you read it too?
Oh, yeah. I've been reading this storyline because it crosses into the Ultimate Universe. So,
okay.
I enjoyed, you know, seeing the characters from the Ultimate X-Men, obviously, being a part of the story. I thought the artwork, again, was great. I know that this guy, Aswar, however you pronounce his name, Supergirl for a long time for DC, and then he went exclusive to Marvel and has been doing All New X-Men. I love his artwork. I thought... Yeah, again, it was great to see the parallel universes, all these different places that we'll probably see again in Secret Wars, to see Old Man Logan pop out and some of those characters. But now that they are back, they open the portal, they make their way back to the regular Marvel Universe. I thought, A, it was funny that when they open the portal, they go, oh, is this our world? And you see a female Thor in a silver suit. Iron Man going by, and they go, oh, yeah, this looks like our Marvel Universe, which, of course, looks nothing like the Marvel Universe 6 months ago, you know? you know, that was amusing. But also, now that they're back in the regular Marvel Universe, I'm done with All New X-Men. Like, I have no interest in continuing with the title outside of the Ultimate Universe. I got my fix of the Ultimate X-Men, and now that the storyline's over, I'm done with the book.
All right, understandable from your point of view.
It's just crossing over into Black Vortex anyway, so...
And Black Vortex, I hope I don't have to read.
Oh, I don't think you will have to. All right, Tim, I'm glad that we're doing a natural segue into Guardians of the Galaxy 24, which is Chapter 2 of this Black Vortex crossover. If there's one thing I detest about being a collector, not just a comic book reader, but a collector... This particular crossover crosses over into two books that I read on a regular basis. I am so not interested. I'm so very not interested in this storyline. However, I'm compelled. The power of the collection compels you to, you know, to purchase these books and to put them in my collection. While at the same time, it turns my stomach that I'm not a fan of this crossover already, and there's so much more of it still to come.
Yeah, I think I remember last week saying how much I enjoyed the Guardians of the Galaxy and X-Men Black Vortex Alpha issue. This issue, I enjoyed the art from Valero Schiti.
Mm.
But besides that, They didn't waste any time jumping into the philosophical debate on, you know, should we use the Black Vortex? Right. Should we, shouldn't we? Yada, yada, yada.
Although I like the fact that at the end of the story, someone was just like, screw all of you, and then does something. And I'm like, okay, fine. At least we got that out of the way, you know?
Yeah. And so, yeah, that ties into more the don't trust Hank McCoy.
Yes.
Evil. More stuff with Thane and, is it Black Maw? I think that guy's name is.
That stuff is so out of place. You know?
I think we need to read that digital first series that starred Thane.
Probably.
God Among
probably.
Us to
it's,
see
so
his
out
story.
Of place. It's so out of place. Like, I'm just like, what's going on with this? Maybe I need to read the first issue of the Black Vortex event to kind of figure out how Thane fits back into this.
Well, need to read the Star-Lord issues leading up to it. He showed up in there.
That too.
This is Sam Humphrey's baby.
Right. So maybe that's why I'm so lost when it comes to the side stories, the secondary plots.
Did they do any more to explain really what this thing is other than just you look in there and you see this haunted reflection of yourself and you turn into it? Did they do anything else to really explain what it's doing and why it's choosing these changes?
I think it's about to.
Yeah, not yet, but I think it's one of those things where in the Alpha issue they showed how this race, alien race called the Viscardi got the Black Vortex from a Celestial, and this one, I don't know if it was a man or woman on the planet, used it, and basically it ended up tearing the civilization on the planet apart because I guess they were all feuding or warring over the Black Vortex. So I'm assuming there'll probably be like more revelations of how it ends, how it turns people greedy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're only two issues into like a 12-point story. I need to actually see how many parts is this. Too many. But that's all I've read this week, so it's all right. Y'all.
Alright, so let's see if there's anything else here that Dirt read and I
read. Did you read anything else Marvel?
No, you mean anything other than Marvel?
No. What else from Marvel did you read?
Okay, well, all I read this week was Marvel, so I read All New Ghost Rider number 11, which was a real change of pace because the artist was also the writer on the book, which is Felipe Smith on the book. Give me one moment. And I'll
yes, he
up.
Wrote it yes, and did art.
Right. So Felipe Smith is the co-creator of this version of Ghost Rider, and in his day job, he works on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon for Nickelodeon, and he does art and I think character creation or some form of art direction for that animated series. So he didn't necessarily have the time to draw any of the all-new Ghost Rider stuff. But now that the book is kind of winding down, he's got the opportunity to flex some of his art muscles on this, and it turns out to be very good. I know a lot of people had a lot of problems with this book because of the art. Because it went from, was it Trad Moore's art, which is very stylistic, to Damian Scott's art, which is supremely stylistic. And I think that was a turnoff to a lot of people, and it kind of stopped them from appreciating an all-new Ghost Rider character that had a lot of nuance to it. I grew to enjoy this, I definitely, but it doesn't hurt that I like Damian Scott's really, really stylistic art. But now that it's winding down, I'm disappointed. I'd like to see this character pop up again. But with regards to this issue, I thought that not knowing necessarily that this was going to be the penultimate issue, I thought that things were on the rushed side in terms of the plot and the story development. But now that I understand that this is the penultimate issue, I understand why it has to be done like that. There's some developments here. It's I forget, is it 6 months later? There's a time difference between the events of the last issue and the events of this issue, and things have changed between Robbie Reyes and his little brother Gabe. There are some revelations with regards to the spirit of Eli Morrow that inhabits, or that co-inhabits the body of Robbie Reyes. So there's a lot of stuff that is revealed in this issue. There are several plot points that will be resolved, I think, in the next issue, which is the last issue of this series. I'm very sad to see this series go. I think that they've created a good, strong character. This version of Ghost Rider, I think, will have some legs going forward. So, bravo to Felipe Smith on creating a character that has some legs and some heart. And I think that, in the future, we'll see this character again. It's a shame that this book didn't make it to the release of Fast and Furious 7 or Furious 7, because who knows, may have gotten a little bit of a boost from that. But in any event, if anyone is looking for something different, this is about to end. It's going to be a nice, probably 2-volume trade paperback. It might be worth a read.
I'm kind of in this last issue. I'm 2 issues behind, but we'll to enjoy the finale. And supposedly, Axel Alonso said that they have plans for Robbie Reyes post all new Ghost Rider. So.
That's good.
Probably somewhere in a Battle World region somewhere.
Sure. Like I said, I think the character has legs. I think that there's something there to be explored. It's not just an empty shell. So,
the new Fantastic Four that'll have, it'll be Red Hulk, it'll be this version of Ghost Rider, Miles Morales, and Dokken will make his return.
Those
four will be the all-new, all-different Avengers Now Fantastic Four.
Oh.
I like it already.
That's funny. That is funny. And Art Adams will draw that cover.
Yeah, but it'll never get reprinted.
All right. Do you want to throw one out there?
Well, keep going on Marvel. Let's just run through the Marvel books.
No problem. Guardians 3000 number 5. This is, again, one of my favorite books out there right now. And I'm not speaking like Roddy Cat from a point of, I don't have that kind of history with the character that Roddy Cat has. So I'm reading this pretty much with an open mind and with just a very, very basic understanding of the characters that came from maybe reading their entries in the official handbook of the Marvel Universe. With that said, this book continues to be surprising, continues to be action-packed, continues to tell a story that is engaging and is very fun to read. It is, again, a candidate for Click of the Week for me. Let me throw out another book that I enjoyed reading because the mystery somewhat deepens from the events of Thor number 4, and I'm talking about Thor number 5. Now, if you've read Thor number 4, you understand that we get to this point where it seems like everyone is satisfied is probably the wrong word. Maybe things are less than hunky-dory when it comes to Asgard and the new status quo with the female goddess of thunder. The Odin son is now trying to put on his pointy Batman ears and playing detective to try to figure out who it is that has picked up his hammer and gone away with it. Odin is also doing the same thing, but using other things at his disposal, mainly magic users that are in the court of Asgard. If you didn't know by now, and I'm not really spoiling this because he's appeared already in the previous issues, Kull Borson, the enemy from Fear Itself, is now a supporting character in this book, and we'll see where that goes. The book sort of teases who the new Thor, might be. I wanted to mention something that we had talked about before. Jorge Molina does do guest art on this issue, and Russell Dowderman is coming back in the next issue, but there's no real drop-off in this issue. It's very well done, very crisp, and the storytelling in it is very good because there is not a lot of fisticuffs involved. There's a lot of talking. There's a lot of thinking and hand-wringing and discussion, debate over what to do about this new Thor. So, read this issue because it does not leave... You realize that things were not left things were not left, let's say, the best way to put it is things were not left, things weren't left as is from Thor number 4. Things are afoot in Thor number 5, and the story involving Odin trying to figure out who on Earth picked up the hammer is I guess the main focus right now, because Odin is now frustrated that even he, the bestower of the power upon who enchanted this particular hammer, even he doesn't understand what's going on, and that's going to drive the story forward at least for a little while. And I'm along for the ride, and I think you should be too.
Good series. I'm actually finishing it up over here.
So you see what I mean, right? Like, in terms of, you know, what the storylines are going to be going forward, there's like a parallel investigation almost, trying to figure out who the new Thor is.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got 2-3 more pages to go.
There you go. The only other book that I was able to read this week, I did not have... Well, actually, one I didn't put on the list because I really didn't want to talk about it, was Spider-Woman number 4. We mentioned earlier that it was another epilogue to the Spider-Verse crossover story. It sets up the new status quo for Spider-Woman. It sets up the costume change, which I know I am not spoiling because we've discussed it before in news. Otherwise, you know, there's not much to be said. It's Greg Land art, so obviously I'm flipping through this as fast as I can to try to get past all the awfulness that is Greg Land art. I don't think this is going to be a book you need to read. I think that a fresh start can be had in the next issue. I think if you're looking to try out Spider-Woman, you can skip this issue and wait for the next issue, because you don't necessarily need to understand what happened up to this point in this book. It's kind of sad that, you know, we've discussed it before, it's tough to launch this book out of the Spider-Verse crossover and then kind of do a fresh start 5 issues in. But that's what they're doing, and I think that you could probably have done without the first 4 issues and start with the next issue and go from there if you're looking for a fresh take on the Spider-Woman Jessica Drew character. And the last issue I read from Marvel this week is Captain Marvel number 12. There were some interesting science aspects to this issue. It is a direct continuation from the last issue. We find... Carol teleported back into space by Lila Cheney from Earth, and some things have been happening in her spaceship since she's been gone, and Tick, one of the aliens that's a supporting character in the book, was cat-sitting, or flirkin-sitting, as the case may be, and you know, some shenanigans go from there. It was a good start to a new story arc, but I don't know if I'm going to keep reading this in physical form. I may end up just reading it as, you know, for academic purposes, as we do here on the Comic Book Chronicles. Mm. But I don't know if I'm going to continue picking this up in physical form.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been kind of lukewarm on Captain Marvel myself.
Yeah. You know, like, I'd like to support the character. I'd like to support, you know, I love the fact that the character is getting so much cover, you know, has so much support out there. She has her own core, but you know, right now the title's not doing as much for me as it did when it first started. Maybe it's just the supporting cast that Taconic is trying to develop. It's just not. I'm not engaged right now in the story.
Okay, well, I'm going to jump over to DC here and do a little bit of housekeeping.
There you go.
Futures End 41. So. Kind of what we saw with all new X-Men, getting glimpses of some of those parallel universes that will probably be appearing in their upcoming Secret Wars crossover. This gave us some glimpses into some of the worlds that we'll probably see in Convergence coming up from DC when they do their big event. It appears that Brainiac, not only is he's always had this. I don't know if you call him like a zookeeper kind of storyline. He's a collector. He collects, you know, cities, the bottled city of Kandor,
right.
You know, goes out and collects a city and keeps it safe. But it looks like he's also a dimension hopper. And he goes to the alternate realities and looks for different versions of characters and places within the multiverse as part of his collection.
Really?
Yeah, and so there's an interaction between him and Hawkman, and this version of Hawkman is apparently not the one he wants, so he rejects Hawkman, and when he spits him out...
That's not very meta, is it?
Well, when he spits out Hawkman, there's a sequence where you see Hawkman floating through space, and he's shifting between the different versions of him from...
Qatar,
you know, before Infinite Crisis, then from the way he looked in the 80s, then the way he looked in Justice Society, the way he looked in the Silver Age, and it's very similar to right before Infinite Crisis when they broke the dimensional barriers. You had in all the DC books, you know, the month before Infinite Crisis hit, they all faded out to a white panel,
right?
And you saw the character. As the dimension shattered or whatever, you saw, like, the different versions of them, you know, kind of fading as it was fading out, whatever. It's doing the same type of thing here when he rejects Hawkman. So we're getting into where Future's End is going to hit that crisis moment with Convergence, and you're starting to see those ripples of the DC crossover's past coming back. So I thought that was an interesting thing to see happen here, is that Brainiac is not only a collector of different worlds, but it looks like he's familiar with the multiverse and has been collecting between the different universes, and that, of course, will probably play into Convergence and all the parallel universes.
Brainiac is Dan DiDio.
Which explains the bald head.
Just letting you know. And the tentacles. Ah!
Justice League United 9 is also apparently playing into this. You've had a creature called the Ultra Humanite, and a bunch of aliens basically took DNA from all across the universe, and they fused the DNA together into one person. And he is the Ultra Humanite, who has grown up with these powers, I guess you would say. And Ultra Humanite basically turns into a villain in the time of the Legion of Superheroes. So the Legion of Superheroes has come back to the past to try to destroy him as a child before he turns into this villain. The problem is that when they come back to try to stop him, they actually kick things into motion, and he becomes this superpowered villain 400 years before he would have otherwise. And so in order to stop him, they create this black hole bomb to throw out into space to absorb him in and destroy him, and instead Martian Manhunter is able to get into his mind, steal his powers, kind of cripple him, you know, take away his mental abilities and turn him back into the mind of a child, and unfortunately they've already set the bomb into motion. So at the end of this issue, this black hole bomb is going off in near space and is going to destroy part of the universe, which of course will make it impossible for that part to exist 400 years in the future where the Legion of Superheroes exists, which is going to create this time vortex ripple butterfly effect, paradox, parallel universe, whatever. And so it looks like that is going to ripple into Convergence as well. So we're seeing little things from these different books come together leading up to this big crossover, which I enjoy when they throw those things in there.
Lemire is a writer on Future's End, right?
Is he on Future's End?
You got me.
You had to cover up there earlier.
Let me see here. Azzarello, Giffen, Juergens. No, not on any of these.
Okay. I thought he was on one of the DC. Is it Batman Eternal? He doesn't do Batman.
No, I don't see him listed on there either. Although, again, with Future's End, they chopped everything up into pieces and handed it around to different writers and artists, so it's possible he may be working on it. He just had nothing to do on this issue.
Okay.
All right, let's move out of DC. We'll go to Walking Dead. Walking Dead 137.
I heard something happens at the end of this issue.
Maybe.
Okay.
Here's the problem. For, I don't know how long it's been now, like almost 10 issues, nothing has really happened. There's been a lot of dialogue and a lot of, like, maybe setting things into motion, but nothing has really happened. And so now it looks like one of the characters may have died in this issue, a pretty big character, a character in the TV show who's very popular, who still exists in the comic series, may actually have died in here. But the problem is this character was poisoned. And so the person collapses, but it's not actually clear that they are actually dead, as opposed to they've been poisoned. Maybe they're just going to wake up vomiting and they'll be okay.
Right.
You know, who knows? So, again, it's one of these things where maybe something has just happened that's big, that's a huge plot point, and maybe not. Maybe it's just, you know, we're going to open the first page of the next issue and they're fine. So I almost feel like we're on the verge of maybe things ramping up again, but at the same time, we very easily could not be. We might have another 10 issues where nothing happens. And it's really annoying me at this point. Like, Walking Dead has become one of those books that I just kind of flip through to see if anything big happens, and when I see that it doesn't, I just kind of move on. Yeah, I know, it's weird. And Star Trek is very similar this month, where they had this huge crossover, and they did all of this stuff with Q and going into the future and seeing Deep Space Nine and all this other stuff. And it's really kind of hard to follow up on that, because now that we're into the next story, it's just back to the five-year mission. This would be another episode of the TV show. They run into a giant ship out in space, and this ship just basically eats ships and destroys their power and leaves them stranded in space where everybody's going to die. So they're going to have to find a way to fight off this giant monster ship that eats other ships. And it's just kind of like it fits that vein of the classic TV show,
right,
you know, being redone. But at the same time, it doesn't feel like anything all that special, considering what we've had for the last 6 months on the book.
Gotcha.
The last one I will talk about, though, this is actually going to be my click of the week.
No kidding.
This is Roman Ritual number 2 from Amigo Comics.
I was just wondering about that. I saw that on your list. So
if you're not familiar with Amigo Comics, then you're with the rest of the 95% of people who read comics. I'm not going to fault you on that. They're a smaller company. They just started last year with a handful of titles. They're based in Spain, so they don't have, you know, the biggest following and, you know, the biggest PR department behind them. But Roman Ritual is built around the idea of exorcism.
Oh, it's not Roman Reigns.
No, it's not Roman Reigns from WWE. I'm sorry. But the Roman Ritual of exorcism from the Holy Roman Church. And so, first of all, there's two things to keep in mind. One is that it treats the subject matter with absolute, if you want to say, respect, but also with a very, like, I can't even think of the term right now. I had it in my head a minute ago, and now I've lost it, thanks to the WWE joke, buddy.
Sorry!
There's a certain respect and a certain amount of reverence, I guess you could say, for it. It treats it as something that it's very important, it's very rare, it's very powerful when it happens, and it's something that you really have to be concerned about when demons are trying to make their way into the mortal universe. You know, so it treats the subject matter with that respect, and at the same time, it's very like this is very dark, and it's very bloody, and it's very graphic, and it's very intense. And it reminds me of the way, you know, people who saw The Exorcist when that originally came out in movie theaters, people were fainting. People were throwing up in the movie theater. You know, people were running out of the movie theater screaming. And it's that same type of, like, intensity that this book has. And I've always loved The Exorcist. I always loved horror movies, you know, and especially when they're deep and intense. You know, they're not jokey. It's not Nightmare on Elm Street Part 6, you know, even though I enjoy those too, there's something to be said for the Exorcist movies and the, you know, the first couple Halloween movies and that type of stuff. So with Roman Ritual, it's one of those things that really kind of gets under your skin. It's really creepy. It's really dark. It's really intense. And if you love the Exorcist and those types of, you know, intense 70s, horror type films, then this is really the book that you got to pick up. And I just love the intensity and the darkness of it. And actually, the way that this book feels is what I was hoping out of the Millennium series from IDW that didn't deliver, because it stuck to the more lighthearted tone like the X-Files. Instead of the dark tone that the TV show had, this has that dark tone and that dark feeling. And I really think they've done a great job with this series, and I just can't wait. The problem is, because it's from a smaller company that's based overseas, I think it's been a month and a half, 2 months since the last issue came out, which means the next issue probably won't come out for another 2 months, and I can't wait. I want to read it now. This is a really good book, and I'm just really happy with the way it's turned out.
Wow. That's a re-endorsement.
That's my click of the week right there. Roman nice. Ritual number two.
Out of nowhere. Out of nowhere.
Are we on click of the week time?
I think so.
Heard Dirt's Roman Ritual.
I'll go. And it's not a surprise, because when the book comes out, it's almost always my click of the week. Guardians 3000, number 5. Get out there, read this, people. It's so fun.
That is also Roddy Cat's pick of the week.
There you go, Roddy.
OG Guardians, as he calls them.
There you go.
And mine is going to be Darth Vader, number 1.
Nice. I like the art. I just flipped through the pages just now, you know, like earlier in the show, and I give LaRocca Salaroca?
Yes.
Yeah.
I give him a lot of credit, for pulling off, you know, the detailed artwork. Like I said, I think that given computer, you know, CG, you know, a computer generated imagery that you can be used in comic books now, it's a huge boon to books like Star Wars, where they can put a lot of that stuff into effect and help with backgrounds. But I noticed that a lot of the character work is still hand drawn, still LaRocca, still noticeably LaRocca. You can still see his style shine through. So, you know, I give him a lot of credit for pulling off a great look on this book, and I hope that he can continue on the book and they don't have too many fill-in artists on it. I know LaRocca is very good. He had a very good run of was it Invincible Iron Man not too long ago? So
yeah, he had a multi-year run on that, didn't he?
Exactly. So hopefully he can really stick to Darth Vader and really give the book some consistency going forward.
Cool. All righty. That will do it for the show tonight.
Yay!
Follow us on our individual Twitter accounts. So even my screen here. I'm at TimDogg98 and at TheClickNation. Roddy Cat is at Roddy Cat and at NewsNerdsNeed. Agent 70 is at Agent_70. And Dirt is at PCN_Dirt on Twitter. And PopCultureNetwork.com.
Woo! Yay!
And with that, that is the show for this week. We'll be back next week, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just go to YouTube.com/TheClickNation and subscribe, and you won't miss any episodes.
There you go.
Enjoy your Valentine's Day weekend.
Yes, happy Valentine's Day, ladies and gentlemen, I guess.
Yes. your President Day, 3-day weekend, if you have that.
That's right.
All right, and we'll be back next week. So we are the Comic Book Chronicles, and we are signing off.
Hey!